Welcome back to the game. Tyler Dreiling, Corey Dean, Grant Flanders with you this afternoon. John and Mitch on their way to Topeka for Man and I basketball against Highland Park tonight. A lot of breaking news making our show what's normally exceptionally interesting to out of this world interesting. As Elijah Lee, K-State linebacker, declares for the NFL draft. We'll have more on that coming up in the second hour. The Royals have made a trade. Let's jump into that first before K-State basketball and Oklahoma. Jerrod Dyson is on his way to Seattle. He is now a Seattle Mariner as the Royals have traded him for Nate Karns, a starting pitcher. Let's see. The lowdown on him, he's 29 years old. He has 4 seasons of MLB experience. He started 15 games for the Mariners last year. He pitched in 22. He was originally out of the bullpen, but started 15 games. He went 6-2. He did have an ERA of 5.15, but his career ERA is 4.41. He's a strikeout pitcher, control kind of guy. Does have a hard time giving up some hard hit balls, however, gave up some home runs last year. That'll be helped out a little bit by moving to Kauffman Stadium. But he is signed through 2021. He's arbitration eligible in 2018. Overall, I would call it a decent deal considering the Royals had too many outfielders and needed to make a move at some point.
Yeah, and you still need pitching if you're Kansas City. He's a guy who gets strikeouts at least. So, and I don't know. See, that was the tough part when you looked around Kansas City and you knew they were going to have to move some pieces. It's like, what can you get back? Because mm-hmm. they have so many guys that are so late in their contracts that it was going to be, you got to trade them to somebody who's willing to give up something for not a lot of control over someone. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you got here. But he did put up a 2 wins above replacement season a couple years ago with the Rays. So he's had some moments of throwing pretty good. And you'd like to think that, yet again, you're still going to have a pretty good defense behind you in Kauffman Stadium and see what you can do.
He's got 240 strikeouts over the last two or 246 strikeouts over the last 2 seasons in 240 innings.
That's pretty good.
So that's pretty good. He is a guy that can come in and strike guys out. I don't know. It'll take a little bit more time. I mean, again, this is just breaking over the last half hour or so to kind of digest this. I certainly wish Jerrod Dyson all the best. He is maybe as much as anyone one of those guys that his statistics do not add up to how valuable he was to the Royals, not only because of what he was actually able to do, but his attitude. And you have all the gifs of him I'm seeing right now of him doing the revving the engine, revving it up
at second base,
doing the backflip in the outfield, and all this cool stuff. I mean, he really was one of the most fun Royals to watch over this run in 2014-2015.
And it was a really unique scenario. For the Royals, too, with what they were able to do both on the base pass and defensively late in games when they were in the playoff and World Series run, whereas you have Dyson on the bench and you can bring him in to run or pinch hit, and you knew that, you know, if he was on first, he was going to be at second pretty quick, and then he was also a guy that once you made that switch, he could suck up anything in the outfield. And if the Royals got the lead, he came in and you just had big, rangy guys who could track down anything. So it was a fascinating combination, and he is a pretty fun dude. Plus, you know, whenever you can come up with your own catchphrase,
that's true.
make your own hashtag.
One that was used by the President of the United States,
right?
By the way, when the Royals visited the White House last season. The information, by the way, on the draft of this guy, Nate Karns, he was drafted in the 12th round in 2009. He actually pitched in college at Texas Tech. I did not realize that, but he is a Big 12 guy. Jerrod Dyson was a 50th round draft pick, by the way.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. And him being able to develop the career that he has as a former 50th round draft pick and one that weighs like 100 pounds dripping wet, it's really pretty impressive for Jerrod Dyson. But absolute best of luck to him as he moves on to Seattle. And
yeah,
he's going to drink a lot of coffee up there.
I think so. And you've seen what speed do on barbecue sauce. Just imagine what it does on caffeine. So it'll be interesting. Karns is a guy who should come in, though, and compete for that 5th starter spot pretty much right away. So it's going to be a back-of-the-rotation guy. But
and then do we assume Terrence Gore takes the role of pinch running?
Yeah, I think.
The difference is Terrence Gore is yet to prove that he can hit even a little bit.
Yeah,
very
and
true.
And you did get that with Jerrod Dyson.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be completely honest. I don't know if I've ever seen Terrence Gore swing a bat. I've seen him on the bases.
Yeah.
And he's fast.
It's not pretty. But we'll see what the Royals do. I would think that they are not quite done.
Left, right?
Yeah, there's probably a couple more moves to be made. Probably not anything really seismic. They're not going to go out and sign Jose Bautista or anything like that. But the Royals are starting to get their pieces together, as I believe we are now 40 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to Surprise Arizona, if you can believe that.
No, that doesn't seem possible.
Just a little over a month away.
But if you're Kansas City, like, you're kind of built to give it like one more go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get things rolling in the first half of the season, like, you realize that as a Royals fan, you got to get your head wrapped around the fact that if you don't start well, there's entirely possible that an epic dismantling starts to happen, because you got a lot of dudes that you're gonna lose control of real quick, and you got to get something back.
It's 2017. We're gonna be more positive than that.
I'm just saying, be prepared.
I'm not gonna pick K-State to win fewer than 8 games.
Well, that's a good plan.
I'm gonna be positive in all of my predictions.
You know, that reminds me, I was very positive. This is kind of a different topic. Very positive. When you brought up NFL pick'ems early in the year and you brought up Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
What record would they have? You said 11-5. I actually listened to it earlier today because I wanted to bring it up. John said 10-6, and I said 12-4.
Oh, good for you.
AFC West champions. And another thing, you guys said Charkandrick West is the leading rusher. I said Spencer Ware.
Yeah. Well,
I wish John was here to hear this, too.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's listening on his way over there. But, yeah, good picks on your part. I wish that Jamal Charles would have stayed healthy.
Yeah,
and we could have seen how that all worked out. Let's jump over to K-State basketball here. K-State, of course, hosting Oklahoma tomorrow afternoon at Bramlage Coliseum at 2 o'clock. It'll be interesting to see how K-State bounces back from how things transpired in Lawrence earlier this week. Oklahoma is a struggling basketball team right now. I knew that their record wasn't very good. They're 6-7. What I did not know until opening up their schedule just a moment ago, five losses.
Yeah.
5 losses in a row for the Sooners. They have not had Jordan Woodard, their best player, for 3 of those, and it doesn't appear like he will be back against K-State. The Sooners are 0-2 in Big 12 play with a loss to Baylor, which is understandable, but it was by 26,
right,
and a loss at TCU, which is more understandable now than it would have been like last year or the year before. But at the same time, I feel like if you're Oklahoma and you're a program that, you know, had Buddy Hield last year and you've got one of the better coaches in the country, in my opinion, in Lon Kruger, you shouldn't lose to TCU.
I would agree, and they've had a tough time just because they haven't really been able to get over the hump, so to speak. They've been in some pretty close games, short of that Baylor game. They've lost by 3 to Wichita State. They lost by 5 to Memphis. You lose by 4 to Auburn. You lose by 3 to TCU. So it's not like they haven't been in games. They just haven't been able to finish any of those games. And at some point, that's got to get pretty frustrating.
Well, it's because they don't have that late game assassin, you know? They don't have Buddy
Hield. It's been Buddy for the last 3 seasons.
Right, and Jordan Woodard has some of that quality in him, but again, he's been out hurt lately. You look at them statistically, and they're actually pretty solid. They're shooting 44% from the floor as a team this year. That includes 39% on three-pointers. They can definitely beat you from deep, but it's when they get those points. And again, it's been late in games this year that they have really struggled. We'll have to see. I think K-State's going to go into this game. The line hasn't come out yet, but it should be probably a 7 or 8 point spread for K-State to win this one. I would hope that they can win it by double digits. It would be really nice for them to rebound from how things went in Lawrence with a big win in this one, and one that you don't have to sweat out the same way that you did late in the Texas game, but we'll have to see.
Well, I'd agree, I think that the team is, at least outwardly, has been handling that loss the right way. And I think, you know, Bruce Weber said, hey, you're still upset about that? Go prove it on Saturday, which I think is the right attitude to take. You want to talk predictions. The one that I wasn't predicting coming into Big 12 play is that Dean Wade is the Big 12's leading scorer in conference games right now. And he has been, despite having a really, and I mean really good look in Lawrence, that would have made Travelgate not a thing.
And he never would have had to pay for a drink in Manhattan again.
Not for the rest of his life. He's been a guy who's been, at least these two games, kind of the Dean Wade I think the team has been looking for. A guy who's not afraid to pull the trigger, a guy who will take the shots that you need him to take, facilitate, and he's been good in the post. And that was big in Lawrence. If you can get some scoring down low, this K-State team has got the guys to move around and space the court to be dangerous.
Bruce Weber did meet with the media earlier this afternoon, and he was asked once again about the Big 12's reaction to what happened in Lawrence. And he did say, quote, there was some conversation in terms of between him and the Big 12. So the Big 12 did talk to him, at least, if they didn't make any sort of public apology or public reprimand. But he went on and said, there's nothing you can do. You just hope the next time they make the right call, it is what it is. He then said that what he told his players, his message to them earlier today was, if you're mad about it, do something about it. Come to play tomorrow. And I think that's exactly how he should be handling this.
Well, that's you're going to have to, because you can't put yourself in the position to let that game get you again. And this is an OU team you need to beat. Like, you've got Big 12 tournament aspirations. People are now talking about you because you did come in with just a one-point loss to Maryland, and now you have a two-point loss to KU, talking about how close you could have been to being undefeated and ranked in the top 20. Like, all of the things are going in your direction now. If you come home and let that affect you and you come out and you don't play well and you don't put away a vulnerable OU team, now you've got a problem, because you start Big 12 play now 1-2, and you start to kind of question. You got Baylor coming up, so this could affect much longer than just one weekend.
That's what I was thinking too. It's got trap game kind of written sure. on it if they allow it to happen, because you got at Texas Tech after that. If they look ahead, you don't want them
and
to do that.
Playing
that's
well
yeah, Texas Tech is looking like a solid squad this year, and then Baylor after that. So
the thing that K-State has to remember, and I'm sure that they've been reminded of this a lot, but this unfortunate event that took place in Lawrence did not happen in game 17 out of 18 in your Big 12 schedule. It was game 2 out of 18 in your Big 12
right.
schedule. You've still got 16 more games left, and you cannot afford to have any sort of that kind of a cloud over you as you go through those 16 games, because this league is just too tough to deal with those mental issues, in addition to the lack of depth and some other holes that this team does currently have. But it's K-State and Oklahoma, 2 o'clock tomorrow at Bramlage Coliseum. You can hear it right here on News Radio KMAN. Heading to our next break, when we come back, no Chiefs this weekend because... Thanks to your Broncos. They have a bye. Appreciate that, Corey. But we will talk about the NFL action this weekend. Boy, I'm sure we all can't wait for Raiders-Texans, right?
The
game of the
playoff
season.
Playoff game on paper of all time.
We'll break them all down and give our picks coming up next on The Game.